The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at AgriGold.com or at 800-262-7333.
Welcome to the Closing Market Report for Wednesday, July 23rd, 2008. This is Dave Dickey. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois. And later this half hour, we'll have cash grain analysis with Matt Blasdell of the Andersons Climbers Facility in Delphi, Indiana. In agricultural news, the U.S. has made some concessions in Geneva at the Doha Round. And a governmental task force says it's supply and demand and not speculation that's driven up oil futures. We'll have these and other stories this half hour. And Drew Lerner of World Weather will have the latest on Midwest conditions. It's all on the Wednesday edition of your Closing Market Report. The Closing Market Report is a production of WILL, a broadcasting service of the College of Media at the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Stuart Peterson. For over 20 years, Stuart Peterson has offered farmers and ranchers a strategic consulting approach to manage both marketing opportunities and risks utilizing the latest technology. Stuart Peterson, confidence like never before. More information is available at www.stuart-peterson.com.
Wednesday afternoon, prices settled like this in Kansas City September wheat, 8.12 down 12, December 8.35 and 3 quarters down 11 and a half. At the Board of Trade, September wheat 7.83 and a quarter down 13 and a half, December 8.06 and 3 quarters down 13, March of 2009, 8.29 and a half down 12 and a half. September corn 5.71 and a half down 2, December 5.90 and a half down 1 and 3 quarters, March 6.09 and 3 quarters down 1 and a half, May 6.22 down 1 and 3 quarters, August beans 13.94 and a quarter down 22 and a half, September 13.85 and 3 quarters down 23 and a half, November 13.84 down 25, January of 2009 14.01 and a quarter down 25, August soybean meal 376.10 down 3.10, August soybean oil 58.55 down 1.58. August live cattle 98.15 up 55. August feeders 112.60 down 127 and a half. And August lean hogs 78.40 down 35. And those are today's settlements in Kansas City and at the Chicago Board of Trade. Taking a look at outside markets for you, September crude oil at 124.40 is down 402. October 125.15 down 382. August ethanol, the settlement there, 230, and it was up 2 cents. September, 226, up 6 tenths of a penny. August natural gas, 974.3, is off 32.4. September, 984, is down 33.5. The August RBOB at 303.75 is down 109.5. Taking a look at some commodities in the hard markets, we see that the settlement prices for September silver, it's at $17.45 and 8 tenths, down 54 and 7. And in the gold, the August contract at $922.80, the settlement there, down $25 and 70 cents. The Dow Jones Industrial Average at 11.632 is up almost 30 points. The U.S. dollar 72.82 up 37. The CRB 414.11 down 705. And the S&P 500 at 1282.89 up 589. Looking at meteorologist Daniel Ponder's forecast for tonight, he says clear to partly cloudy skies and lows ranging from 54 in northeastern Indiana to 62 in southwestern Illinois. Tomorrow in western Illinois, mostly cloudy with scattered showers and thunderstorms arriving. In eastern Illinois and across Indiana, mostly sunny and highs ranging from 78 to 88 degrees. Mm-hmm. Joining us now with a look at the agricultural markets is Paul Cooley of ADM Investment Services. He is in Oakland, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Paul.
Good afternoon, Dave. We'll be looking forward to going to Streeter tonight. And then also we had a loyal listener on the Internet from South Bend, Indiana, that called me today and said he enjoys the programming on the WILL.
We do enjoy that the fact that our influence on the Internet is expanding. If you're in an area that is a little bit hard of hearing, you can always get us on the web at WILLAG.org. Of course, that meeting tonight, beginning at 6 o'clock at the Knights of Columbus Hall in Streeter. In addition to Paul, we'll have Kurt Kimmel of Bates Commodities, Jackie Vakes of Stuart Peterson, Steve Freed of ADM, and AM 580 Chief Meteorologist Ed Kieser. If you are in the area, it is a meeting you will not want to miss. That's at the Knights of Columbus Hall in Streeter this evening, beginning at 6 with a light little kind of hors d'oeuvre kind of thing, and then at 6:30 with the meeting proper. Paul, before we go to the grain side, let's spend a little bit of time with CME Livestock, because we did see the monthly U.S. cattle on feed estimates, the trade guesses for Friday's report. What do you make of them?
Well, they all cattle in inventory report at 99.3% was the average guess, and the annual crop at 99.4%. And generally smaller cattle numbers is the general war cry. And when we look into the future, we do look for the cattle prices to improve as we go into the early springtime. Unlike the cattle really doesn't have to fight a lot of bigger numbers bigger numbers from bad reports like the hog industry has to surge through. The cattle people are probably a little better financial footing than the hog people. And as we go through time, hopefully with a improvement in the U.S. economy with these lower energy prices, and hopefully the pump prices will start to come down dramatically, maybe 25 or 30 cents a gallon quick, that will also give some stability to the meat industry as well as the housing industry.
All right, then let's turn our attention to the grains. September corn ending the day down 2, December down 1 3/4. But those numbers belie the action that was going on in those pits and the range over 40 cents today. What do you make of it?
Well, you know, we knew it was going to be a rough and tumble market from last night. And our general impressions were that from this morning that corn didn't deserve going limit down, but it had a lot of work to do. A couple things that we did notice is we think there was a lot of spreading, getting out of short corn, long beans, corn-wheat spreads. And as a result of that, the market did put in a pretty good performance in corn. We did mention to you that there's a new market in the corn industry. Of course, we know that the ethanol industry has been hurt a little bit with the high prices and the weakening of energy prices. We also know that the export market's been a little sluggish, and also the livestock industry is under price pressure. But now you can buy corn and carry it into new crop at a profit, and that does give the market some stability. We are looking in time for the energy market to stabilize. I'm not one that thinks that we'll see crude oil go much under 120, if that. And as a result of that, ethanol should be picking up some profitability here in time, and that should encourage more corn usage as we go into the next quarter of the year.
So is today's action more than a dead cat bounce?
Well, good question. My general impression is that we know we are in deflationary times. The trend is down, and the corn crop looks pretty darn good. We do know that some of the pressures with this basic almost what, $1.30, $1.40 price drop in the marketplace should encourage you know, some improvement in usage and the free flow and drop in prices. We know that it does cost a lot nowadays to plant corn and soybeans, but this should also possibly keep the pressure off of the EPA from basically reducing corn in certain states as far as ethanol is concerned, and also will possibly slow down the government from opening the CRP up quite as quick.
In soybeans, a new low for the move, but they did manage, even though they finished down 22.5 in August and 25 in November, to sort of claw their way back up to the midpoint of the range of trading today and above their 100-day moving average.
You know, the from a technical point of view, you know, soybeans did a lot of work today, and but the trend is still down. Generally, we know that the Chinese have bought a lot of soybeans, and the impression is they're going to build a bigger inventory and strategic reserve than they have in the past. You look at monthly imports to China, it's tremendous. We also understand that Argentina is struggling with their economy and the likelihood of additional acreage coming out of that country next year is possibly going to be hard to come by. And also to encourage additional acreage and $2 to $3 a bushel transportation charges by truck, you know, the price level that some analysts are looking for to encourage production and bean acreage in South America is the $14 mark. So as a result of that, you know, additional acreage is going to be hard to come by in South America. So we are looking at a pretty tight situation in soybeans. Everyone that calls in says, you know, corn looks great, but the soybean crop looks pretty rough. And as a result of that, you know, soybean demand, we should improve. Also, we're picking up that the export market's picking up in new crop beans. And then also we are getting reports from elevators that processing plants throughout the U.S. are in a scramble to buy old crop soybeans.
So if I go to ADM Investor Services tomorrow and sit in front of the big screens, plop down, get out my favorite popcorn, what spec trade should I be doing?
Yeah, good question. Well, definitely the fear factor of a major meltdown in the commodities, I think, is going to be put to bed, I think, by the weekend, Dave. You know, that's lesson number one. And the ability to short a commodity and make money on it by the end of the day is probably going to be harder to come by. The number three is that, yes, we are and have seen these very large trading ranges in the marketplace, and we think that's going to continue. I think basically the general idea of accumulating beans and selling corn on rallies is a logical way to play the game. People are watching the stock market. They are watching the crude oil market for direction, and I think those markets will also stabilize quickly. Hopefully, and of course we are looking at a stronger U.S. dollar, but I think in time that will even slow down here in the next 5 to 10 days.
Thank you, Paul.
Have a nice day, and we'll see you tonight in Streeter, Illinois.
Yes, sir. Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Leonard Seed Service, an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgrow seed products to farmers in East Central Illinois. Leonard Seed Service provides customer services and agronomic information to help customers maximize profits. Leonard Seed Service, 217-497-2270.
In agricultural news, a government interagency task force says the oil price surge is due to supply and demand conditions and not speculators playing the futures market. The task force, chaired by U.S. futures markets regulators, will continue to evaluate the commodities markets and provide an additional report later in the year. The announcement comes the same day that a bill that would strengthen U.S. commodity regulatory oversight of energy futures passed a procedural hurdle in the Senate. The Senate Appropriations Committee was planning tomorrow to mark up the fiscal year 2009 spending bill for the Interior Department, but the markup has been postponed indefinitely due to uncertainty on oil and gas drilling issues on the Senate floor. Senate Republicans had planned to offer amendments on the floor, allowing for the development of oil production from shale in the western U.S., for new drilling in the outer continental shelf, and perhaps for drilling in the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge. Environmental Protection Agency Administrator Stephen Johnson says a final decision on the Texas request for a waiver from the renewable fuels standard will not be completed by Thursday. Johnson says too much work remains and additional time is needed to give staff the opportunity to adequately respond to public comments and put a document together that explains the technical, economic, and legal rationale of the decision. Johnson says expect a ruling on the waiver request in early August. In Geneva, at the WTO Doha Round meetings, U.S. Trade Representative Susan Schwab offered to cut trade-distorting subsidies to not more than $15 billion a year.
In 2005, we attempted to get this round back on track by making an offer to reduce our allowable subsidies to $22.5 billion. More recently, last June, we had signaled that under the right circumstances, we could get close to $17 billion. To move these negotiations forward this week and in an effort to see a conclusion to the Doha round in 2008 and in exchange for an ambitious market access outcome in agriculture and NAMA, we are prepared to reduce our overall trade distorting domestic support to $15 billion.
$15 billion is twice the amount the U.S. spent last year on trade-distorting subsidies. The European Union called the proposal, quote, reasonable at this stage. Developing countries had mixed reactions, some saying the offer is a good starting point, while others saying the U.S. proposal should be much closer to the amount actually spent each year. Schwab says in seven of the past 10 years, trade-distorting subsidies exceeded $15 billion.
Anyone who is suggesting a number outside the ranges in the text is not engaged in a serious effort to conclude the Doha round. I think anyone who understands farm programs will understand how significant the reduction is implied by this number.
Schwab's proposal amounts to a 69% reduction in trade-distorting subsidies. Currently, the U.S. is allowed to spend up to $48.2 billion on all categories of support for agriculture. Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley says he hopes the Bush administration doesn't strike a deal just to get an agreement.
It's irrational to think that you have an agreement just to have an agreement. But sometimes I'm naive enough to believe that's how you end up with an agreement. There's a compunction on the part of negotiators to reach an agreement because that's what they're supposed to do. It's difficult for them to walk away from the table. Now, she has, to her credit, walked away from the table a couple times in the last 4 years. So I have confidence that if it weren't so darn late in this presidency, that she would walk away. I don't know that she has any instructions to reach an agreement, just to reach an agreement, but, you know, these are things that are in the back of my mind.
Schwab says the $15 billion subsidy offer requires assurances that it will not be subject to subsequent legal challenges to reduce it further. A federal judge in Seattle tomorrow will hear from USDA and the National Wildlife Federation. The two sides failed yesterday to reach a compromise on how haying and grazing for critical feed use could be allowed on CRP acres. In a joint filing yesterday, USDA and the NWF remained at loggerheads over how many acres might be used for haying and grazing. Meanwhile, the National Grain and Feed Association is taking USDA to task because it has yet to do an environmental impact study needed to allow CRP acres to be released early without penalty. NGFA spokesperson Randall Gordon says, quote, it's a travesty because the industry has been calling on USDA to perform that analysis for over 2 years. It's not a reasonable policy option to sit on your hands. and DuPont is reporting an 11% increase in second quarter net income on strong agriculture sales, overcoming its slumping construction and automotive businesses. The company reported net income of $1.08 billion, up from $972 million a year earlier. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
Matt Blaisdell is away from his desk this afternoon, but Scott Butcher of the Anderson's Climbers facility in Delphi, Indiana, is manning his desk. Good afternoon to you, Scott.
Good afternoon, Dave.
Well, it's been an interesting day at the Chicago Board of Trade today. If you looked just at the settlements, you thought, not much happened. But we traded in a 40-cent-plus range today. How has the basis reacted to that?
We really haven't seen anything yet, Dave. It's kind of in our area, I guess, the last few days anyway. Corn basis seems to be asleep for the most part. It's been really quiet. Bean basis is starting to peak up a little bit, as it does every time, every year at this same time. So, for right now, nothing big has happened, but it looks like changes are coming.
I suppose producers are pretty much sitting on their hands when it comes to pricing any corn in with the break on the board, huh?
Yeah, we really, even with the break on the board, it still has not scared much loose. So, I think we look to that August-September time frame. Things might be a little scarce.
What kind of price do you think that it will take to entice producers to come with their trucks?
Well, I definitely think that basis is going to have to improve. I don't know. We look at, where we have been in the past, compared to where we're going to have to be. I don't know what levels it's going to take, but it sure seems like with the move down in the board, it's going to take a pretty good move.
Doing any work in the beans, or has that dried up too?
It has. It really seems like beans are really scarce at this point. A lot of beans in the countryside are already cleaned up and, continue to be that way. And it doesn't look like, there's going to be a lot of beans available in that August-September time slot right in front of harvest.
Tell us a little bit about the Climbers facility. I think we probably brought it up in the past, but it bears repeating. You guys have an ethanol plant there, correct?
Yes.
And what kind of grind does it do on a day, and what kind of storage do you need to keep the plant running and humming in good top efficiency?
Well, we're over 100,000 bushels a day. We have 3.5 million space here, so we have a pretty good size elevator. So space really is not an issue for us. We have, the ability to make it for quite a while with what we have.
All right, then. I know one thing that's probably been pleasing to you, and the fact is, with the break in the futures, your elevator, maybe certainly smaller country elevators, are getting dollars back from their margin calls. It's probably helping a lot.
Yeah, sure is, Dave. It's a good time for some relief, that's sure.
All right, then what about your prices that you were offering today?
Right now for cash corn, we are at $5.29, and cash beans, $13.99.
Thank you very much, Scott. You have a grand day today.
Thanks. You too, Dave.
Scott Butcher of the Anderson's Climbers facility in Delphi, Indiana.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Tom Rogers. A collapse of a crane has killed a man at a construction site in Normal. The county coroner, Beth Kimmerling, says the man's body was still pinned by the crane at midday, as identity wasn't yet available. Authorities in McLean County said the crane collapsed at mid-morning onto the roof of a warehouse under construction in Normal. Kimmerling said the crane collided with a lift being used at the site. Initial reports indicate other people were injured, but Kimmerling says other workers were checked out at the construction site and no one was taken to the hospital. A firefighter from the Livingston County town of Fairbury was killed and another injured while they battled a fire last night that heavily damaged a house in the Livingston County community of Forest. The fire chief says Brian Munns died after he was taken to a hospital in Pontiac. An investigation continues into the fire's cause and how Munns died. Fundraisers say they're ahead of schedule in the University of Illinois' biggest campaign ever. The U of I Foundation says it's now raised more than $1 billion, two-thirds of the way toward a $1.5 billion goal for the Urbana campus in its Brilliant Futures campaign. Don Koich of the foundation says donors seem to be giving despite the soft economy. The one-block-long area that borders the eastern edge of the U of I campus is the subject of a community meeting tonight. Urbana city planners want to draw up design guidelines for new buildings along what it calls the Lincoln-Busey Corridor, several blocks bordered on the west and east by Lincoln Avenue and Busey Street. The city is looking for public comments on how new buildings along the street should be built and how parking is accommodated for. The meeting is tonight at City Hall in Urbana at 5:30. Syndicated columnist Robert Novak says he's been issued a $50 citation after he hit a pedestrian while driving in downtown Washington, D.C. Witnesses say the collision happened as the 77-year-old University of Illinois alumnus was traveling near K Street in his black Corvette. The pedestrian was treated for minor injuries. Novak told a TV station he was cited for failing to yield the right of way. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. This is Dave Dickey. Joining us for our look at the agricultural weather is Drew Lerner, senior meteorologist of World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Good afternoon, Drew.
Good afternoon, Dave.
I don't suppose you could dial in much better weather over the next couple of weeks for corn if you wanted to.
I think you're just exactly right. It's just amazing this year. It looked like we were running about 2 or 3 weeks behind in the normal evolution of seasonal weather all spring and summer. And we've gotten into this July weather, and just like you said, it's just about as perfect as you could ask for. We're getting scattered showers around. We've got a few pockets of dryness, but nothing that's serious enough that the subsoil can't kick in there and support the crop. Our temperatures are just right at normal. The question is it going to last very long? And I think it is going to last for a little while longer. There's no sign of any ridge of high pressure that's going to come in and set on top of the Midwest. And to be real honest with you, with as much moisture as we have around, it's going to be really, really difficult for a ridge of high pressure to come in and set up shop without having some kind of a blocking pattern in another place in the northern hemisphere. And we don't have that right now. And I'd say the odds are pretty good that we're going to sneak right on through the first days of August without a hitch. We may actually see some more cooler than usual weather show up in that first week of August, along with some more showers and thunderstorms. So if anything, we may run a little low on some of the degree day accumulations, but that's about all I can find to complain about.
I suppose if you're in the far western Corn Belt, you might have just a smidge of concern.
Yes, a little bit more so, and if there's any area in the belt that will dry out, it probably will be the west, mainly because the ridge of high pressure that has been hanging around in recent weeks has been over the Rocky Mountains and the High Plains region, and we are seeing a lot of 90 and 100-degree temperatures out there in the plains, and it's just a stone's throw away from the western Corn Belt, obviously. So eventually, I think we will see the high pressure ridge shift just far enough to the east that we will start seeing the western Corn Belt dry out a little bit more significantly. We already have Missouri and Kansas topsoil running short to very short, and there's a few other pockets up there in parts of Minnesota and South Dakota, even a part of North Dakota, that are running a little bit on the dry side. So, yeah, I think you're absolutely right. At some point down the road, we may indeed see some expansion of dryness into those areas, but it's going to be really hard to dry out Iowa if Iowa keeps getting all the big rain events out of the western Corn Belt. So the bottom line is that even if we do start hurting some of those western areas, it may not have a huge impact on the bottom line unless we can get it to be a uniform problem and bring it deeper into the Midwest. And I certainly don't think that'll be the case, as you said, for at least the next 2 weeks.
Soybean bulls want to make a case for weather down in the Delta. Do they have a leg to stand on?
Yeah, in the Delta, there's definitely a problem down there. There's definitely a lack of moisture. There's a few showers and thunderstorms that will scatter around for the next couple of weeks, but it doesn't look like there's going to be any real well-organized soaking rain for the region. Today and tomorrow will probably be the best days for thunderstorms in the region, and we could see a few strong storms that would actually increase soil moisture in a few areas. But again, it's not going to be a generalized event. So I'd say at least two-thirds of the Delta will see ongoing moisture stress over this next 10 days to 2 weeks. with temperatures running in the 90s on a regular basis.
Thanks, Drew.
Have a great day.
Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. And that's today's closing market report. This is Dave Dickey.